from Redeemer Broadcasting. This is Holding All Things Together for this final weekend in April. I'm Dan Elmendorf.
And I'm Calvin Carter. A recent poll released by the State Financial Officers Foundation, a nonpartisan watchdog on government spending, found that 83% of voters believe that fraud or misuse of government funds contributes to higher taxes or higher costs for families. An even larger number of the survey's respondents, 87%, said they are concerned about fraud or the misuse of taxpayer money in government programs. Here to discuss this issue is Pedro Rodriguez Aparicio, a journalism fellow at the Daily Signal.
So this poll was conducted by the State Financial Officers Foundation, and they are a third party, right, a nonprofit organization that focuses on exposing and tracking government misuse of funds all across the country in all 50 states. And they actually have boots on the ground. They have state auditors that work hand in hand with state governments, local administrators in 41 of the 50 states to identify that fraud and abuse that sometimes the Department of Justice or the federal government cannot identify. And they found in their recent poll, they found that most Americans believe that there is a lot of fraud, more than is reported, and that that fraud is directly correlated to their higher cost of living.
Also ahead, Pastor Bill Shisco discusses question 85 of the Shorter Catechism, which covers our responsibility of faith in Christ and repentance unto life. Later in the program, writer Jerry Wiss discusses how Jacob is to separate for himself the striped, speckled, and spotted goats and black lambs, and yet Laban manages to whisk all these away and have his sons shepherd them at a distance from where Jacob is. Jacob is then told by God in a dream of the increase of these animals as his own, and he undertakes a method to bring forth young animals that are striped, speckled, and spotted. God is amazingly involved in all of this. Finally, we'll take another look at this week in history. All this just ahead on Holding All Things Together.
We're in the Westminster Shorter Catechism as our forum of sound teaching. There's many of them there, but that's probably the best tried and true one. We're in the last section, which begins at question number 85, your responsibility before God. What does God require of you and me that we may escape God's wrath and curse due to us for sin? Now, brothers and sisters, please, don't go back to the doctrine of election to answer this. That's one of the secrets and things of the Lord. It's taught in the Word of God, but it's God's. We don't know who the elect are. The secret things of the Lord belong to the Lord. The things that are revealed, His Word, belong to us and to our children, that we might keep the commandments of the Lord our God. Which means, what does the Bible say is, well, your responsibility? What does God require of you that you may escape the wrath and curse of God due to you and me for sin? And here's the answer. To escape the wrath and curse of God due to us for sin, God requires of us faith in Jesus Christ. Faith, folks, it's a gift of God. By grace are you saved through faith, and that faith, not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Lest any man should boast. God's got to give that to you. In fact, faith, Galatians 5:22, faith and ongoing faithfulness, that's a fruit of the Spirit. You can't believe and you can't continue to believe apart from grace. And then it's that by faith we repent unto life, which we'll get to in a little bit. But along with what faith is, whereby in that faith we receive and rest upon Him alone for salvation. Resting is putting the full weight of your body and your soul, your whole being on Christ. You rock back on a chair. This was actually used as an illustration for what faith is. You rock back in your chair. Only the chair holds you up as you rock back. That's Jesus. You rest on him alone. And alone is so important. Not mixed with your works, not mixed with sacraments, not mixed with anything else. Christ alone for salvation. For salvation. What's salvation? It's God's rescue mission, delivering you from the wrath to come. Your life preserve in the lifeguard of the Lord Jesus. And Jesus is offered. He's freely offered to you in the gospel. Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And you don't do that just once, folks. You're always, always coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, receiving and resting upon him alone for salvation as he's offered to you in the gospel.
On the Zoom line with us today is Pedro Rodriguez of the Daily Signal. And Pedro, it's an honor to have you on with us today.
It's an honor to be here. Thank you, Dan.
Now, you're a journalism fellow there, and you wrote a recent article under Law Politics News. It's an exclusive. Taxpayers increasingly blame government fraud for rising cost of living, according to an important poll. So maybe we can start. You could tell us a little bit about this poll.
Yeah, of course. So this poll was conducted by the State Financial Officers Foundation. And they are a third party, right, a nonprofit organization that focuses on exposing and tracking government misuse of funds all across the country in all 50 states. And they actually have boots on the ground. They have state auditors that work hand in hand with state governments, local administrators in 41 of the 50 states to identify that fraud and abuse that sometimes the Department of Justice or the federal government cannot identify. And they found in their recent poll, they found that most Americans believe that there is a lot of fraud, more than is reported, and that that fraud is directly correlated to their higher cost of living, right? Because
right.
When the government has to spend more money, sometimes for fraudulent reasons, but when the government has to, the more money the government spends, the more money, the less, the value becomes less, if that makes sense. The value of the dollar that we have in our pockets becomes less. And as a result, inflation goes up, prices go up, and everyday Americans like myself and like you, we're feeling it. We're feeling the rising cost of living. And it can be directly attributed to the fraud that's going on in this country.
And we've gotten used to this idea that over time, everything goes up. You know, the price of everything goes up. And I question that basic assumption. But the people that are being polled, are they upset over this going on?
Of course, they're highly upset. Actually, 87% of the people that responded to the survey said they were concerned about the fraud and the misuse of taxpayer money.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Well, fraud is a big deal. We also saw a lot of nonsense going on out there in Minnesota. I don't think we've gotten anywhere close to the bottom of that mess.
Minnesota is unfortunate, but that's just the tip of the iceberg, right? We haven't uncovered the full spectrum of the misuse that has been going on in Minnesota. But Minnesota has states like, really, any Democrat state, in my opinion, is riddled with fraud, whether it's healthcare, hospice, the Feeding Their Future scandal. So states like Minnesota, California is next, Ohio, Maine, New York, they all contribute to this massive stealing of taxpayer dollars.
Yes.
And just yesterday, two days ago, I wrote an article on California. California Democrats in the state assembly are actually pushing legislation to stop third-party independent journalist from asking questions on the street, right? California Republicans have named this bill Stop the Nick Shirley Act because that's what's going on.
Unbelievable.
And State Assemblyman David Tangimpa told me that, you know, the government, especially the Democrats, they're trying to put an end to these third-party independent journalists simply because they're trying to hide something, right? There is a massive corruption problem of taxpayer dollars.
There really is. Today we're talking with Pedro Rodriguez of the Daily Signal. Pedro, how did you get into this line of work? Did you just wake up one day and say, I want to do this, or how did it work for you?
Well, I guess over time I noticed corruption stemming from the government, specifically with our tax dollars, right? Just our tax dollars being misused, being, you know, our tax dollars going to the wrong hands, and us Americans having to pay more out of pocket. I mean, my father is a small business owner, and he struggles. Yeah. You know, we're everyday Americans. We live paycheck to paycheck sometimes.
That's right.
You know, the more that we have to pay, the less money we get to keep, and the less money my dad, you know, has to provide for the family. And once you uncover why that is, why we're paying more out of pocket and being able to retain less, it's then you start doing the digging. Where does all the money that we pay the government, right, where does it go, right? And more times than not, it goes to these fraudulent programs.
Yes.
Like, for example, in Minnesota with the Somali daycares and whatnot.
Oh, that's a mess out there. You might say, or somebody might say, why do you guys care about that? This is a Christian program. Why do you care? Well, we do have something called the Ten Commandments, where it tells us that it's wrong to steal. And it's especially wrong to steal and redistribute to others that should not be getting the money. And fraud has a lot to do with that many times. There's also a form of legalized thievery, and we don't have time to get into that. The head of this group here, the State Financial Officers Foundation, his last name is Olika. Can you tell us anything more about this group and what they found? Anything else stand out?
Absolutely. So they actually have been working with governments for a few decades already. And OG Olika told me that he got into this line of work to reiterate the point that you were just making is, you know, we public servants have a duty to, and that duty is to protect the American citizen. That's what public servants are meant to do,
yeah,
right? They're followed, they're relied upon, they're trusted to follow these principles of integrity and of good character and to be able to do the work on our behalf. And instead they use it for personal gain. So OJ started this independent watchdog organization to be able to identify the fraud that goes on and the misuse that goes on in, you know, all 50 states all throughout the country,
okay,
whether it is local, state, or federal government. That's what they're meant to do. And, you know, when it comes to their achievements, I mean, they have a very long line of achievements, but currently just now, I think we are blessed to have an administration that is really putting the American citizen first and
right,
trying to crack down on this fraud and this corruption and trying to remove the bad actors from public service. And Vice President J.D. Vance just created a task force to crack down on this corruption, which I believe this Daily Signal was the first to report on.
That
right,
is, that is fantastic. I read part of your writing there, and it looks like from what you wrote, they already identified $6.3 billion in government contracts flowing to potentially fraudulent businesses.
They have, and this is where they come in. So the $6.3 billion, I think, is, and they believe, is just the tip of the iceberg.
Tip, yeah.
They're working hand-in-hand with J.D. Vance and his anti-fraud task force to identify the fraud that goes on that, you know, in most cases, the state administrators and the local administrators in these 50 states that commit the fraud, they don't want to cooperate with the task force or the federal government.
Oh, of course not.
They don't want to hand over the proof and say, hey, there's corruption in my district. They don't want to do that. So what these third-party watchdogs do is that they report the fraud that goes on and then report it back to, they identify the fraud and then report it back to the task force so that the task force can crack down on them and remove those bad actors from the government.
Yeah. And apparently there are these officers that are members, I guess you could say, of the State Financial Officers Foundation, and they do have the statutory authority in many cases, and they're willing to do something about this stuff.
They are, and that's great that we have public servants that are willing to cooperate and really put the interests of the American people first.
Well, today we've been talking with Pedro Rodriguez, and you can check him out but just by looking up the Daily Signal. And what's your website address there, Pedro?
Of course, it's thedailysignal.com.
Well, that's simple enough. Okay. We've talked to several of your people there, and we have a high regard for the Daily Signal. And give our regards to our friend Tyler O'Neill, I believe, is one of the men there.
Absolutely. He sounds his best as well.
We'll see you later, Pedro. May God bless you and continue the good work. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. God bless you as well.
Thanks for joining us for Holding All Things Together. Your gifts to this program help us with future production costs and distribution. If you'd like to support us, our mailing address for your gift is Redeemer Broadcasting, Post Office Box 1520, Olive Bridge, New York, 12461. Thanks.
It isn't long after Jacob and Laban strike an agreement for Jacob to separate for himself the striped, speckled, and spotted goats and black lambs among Laban's flocks that Laban manages to whisk all these away and have his sons shepherd them at a distance from where Jacob is. Jacob, however, told by God in a dream of the increase of these animals as his own, undertakes a method to bring forth young animals that are, yes, striped, speckled, and spotted. How does he do this? And how is the Lord involved in this coming to pass? Today, Jerry West looks at this portion of Genesis 30, explaining how the increase of Jacob's flocks is of the Lord, despite Laban's chicanery. Jerry is a regular contributor to Holding All Things Together and is a writer for Christian Renewal magazine.
We pick up with Jacob in Genesis 30. Last time I noted how Jacob and Laban had come to the agreement that Jacob would separate from Laban's flocks the striped, speckled, and spotted goats and black lambs as his own. It's likely that these were in the minority, which is why Laban quickly agrees to the deal. Nonetheless, on the same day the agreement was made, Laban separated these goats and lambs himself, gave them to be shepherded by his sons, and hustled to create a 3 days journey separating his own flocks from those Jacob tended for him. So much for the agreement. Laban sought to deceive Jacob as soon as the deal was sealed. What follows in Genesis 30, verses 37 to 42, is a method used by Jacob to increase the striped, speckled, and spotted goats and black sheep among Laban's flock that he's left with to shepherd. Passages like these are turned to by liberal theologians to point out that the Bible is not inerrant, that it's in fact a storybook meant only to teach us lessons or values. They say this because science does not support modeled animals coming forth from single colored ones by using Jacob's method of peeling sticks from poplar, almond, and plane or sycamore trees and setting them before the watering troughs where the animals drink. Near the watering troughs is where the sheep and goats mated. And in verse 39, we learn the flocks bred in front of the sticks, and so, or therefore, brought forth striped, speckled, and spotted offspring, increasing Jacob's flock from nothing, since Laban had already separated the mottled animals, to eventually large flocks of the same, which were to be his own. This, the liberal theologian says, is obviously country folklore and not the inscripturated word of God. But what he neglects to account for is Genesis 31, verses 10 to 12. There, in a flashback reveal, Jacob tells his wives, Leah and Rachel, that the Lord had come to him in a dream after his agreement with Laban. In verse 12, God says to Jacob in the dream, "Lift up your eyes and see, all the goats that mate with the flock are striped, spotted, and mottled, for I have seen all that Laban is doing to you." The increase of the mottled animals to enlarge Jacob's holdings, in other words, and plainly, is of the Lord. But what about peeling the branches from selected trees and placing them at the watering troughs? Well, isn't it conceivable that this too is what was revealed to Jacob to do, even though the instruction of this action is not in Genesis 31, verse 12? Jacob didn't have to understand genetics in order to breed and then to increase the size of his flock of mottled animals. The recessive gene is already in the single-colored goats and sheep. God's working in and through that natural phenomenon is where the miracle is. The effectiveness of the peeled branches or sticks may be dubbed as country folklore, but isn't it possible that this folklore arose as a result of this miracle so that others later hoped to manage the breeding of their flocks based on the one-time miraculous circumstances of Jacob's actions? Cannot the one true and living God, the one who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, who parted the Red Sea and effected the rising of our Lord Jesus Christ from the grave, also intercede so that striped, spotted, and speckled animals come forth from single-colored ones? Of course, the liberal theologian would reduce to natural phenomena the creation of the universe, the parting of the Red Sea, and the so-called storytelling of Christ's rising from the grave as well. But we know these things to be true by faith. But there are also natural phenomena regarding the peeled branches, adumbrated and made effective on Jacob's behalf by the Lord, to be considered as well. More next time.
Time once again for This Week in History. April 19th, 1861. Fearful of a Union occupation of the state of Maryland, secessionists attack Massachusetts troops en route to Washington, D.C. The previous week saw the first shots fired in the Civil War at Fort Sumter in Charleston Harbor, while the first blood was spilt in Baltimore on this day, as 4 soldiers and 12 secessionists lose their lives in the skirmish. By May, President Lincoln had suspended habeas corpus, invoked martial law, and occupied Maryland with federal troops. April 20th, 1841. Auguste Dupin is the hero of Edgar Allan Poe's new story, The Murders in the Rue Morgue. First appearing in Graham's Ladies and Gentlemen's Magazine, it is considered the first detective story. And April 22nd, 1889. At noon, thousands of settlers rush into the newly opened 2 million acres of Indian territory that would eventually become Oklahoma. That was This Week in History, events as man recorded them, as God ordained them.
That's our program for this week. Thanks for joining us. Holding All Things Together is a production of Redeemer Broadcasting, and the views expressed are those of the participants. If you'd like to help us continue to produce this program and distribute it to others, please consider supporting us. Our mailing address for your tax-deductible gift is Redeemer Broadcasting, P.O. Box 1520, Olive Bridge, New York, 12461. You may also email us at ministry@redeemerbroadcasting.org. For Holding All Things Together, I'm Dan Elmendorf.
And I'm Calvin Carter.
God willing, see you next week.